The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom will join at 4. I got Batman, Matt Rothschild. He's joining at 3:30. I've been missing Matt. So we're bringing him out of retirement, and he's coming down to the WMDX 92.7 FM studios, and he'll join me at 3:30, and we're going to talk some local politics and reminisce and catch up, and you can call. Be a part. Say hi to Matt. 844-967-2789. But the exciting news, she's coming to Madison. Vice President Kamala Harris coming to Madison next week. And I got to tell you, as a political junkie, I'll put in my credentials early. I feel more confident that Kamala Harris's team will allow yours truly in than my recent forays trying to show up at Trump events. And I've been to a dozen or more Trump events, but they don't like me anymore, which, you know, unless the guy wins the presidency, I'm pretty okay with. Kamala Harris, here is what's being reported at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. VP Kamala Harris will visit Madison, coming to my town next week to highlight the Biden administration's efforts to promote union job growth and apprenticeship programs, continuing a parade of stops in Wisconsin from top administration officials ahead of the 2024 election. And Harris plans to deliver her remarks in Madison on Wednesday. Bet your ass I'll be there. She will be joined by Acting Secretary of Labor Julie Sue, a Harris aide told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And her message will focus in part on fighting for workers, advancing economic opportunity, and building a strong economy for all Americans. Now, the White House did not immediately release additional details of the trip. As soon as we get some, we'll share them with you, our fair audience. No, we're not going to keep secrets from you. Harris's visit will be the latest in a string of recent activity in Wisconsin for top White House officials over the last few months. She last visited the state in January. I was there. I went for you guys so you'd know what was happening. And kicked off her nationwide tour focused on abortion access in Waukesha County, traditionally a Republican stronghold. Yeah, until we got WAUK going. That same week, President Joe Biden visited Superior. Now, I didn't make that trip. That's a hell of a drive. Dom wasn't going. To tout recent investments in infrastructure. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, she did the Milwaukee thing to highlight investments in skilled labor training. So what else? What else can I tell you? At the scheduled Wednesday visit in Madison, Harris is expected to similarly tout the administration, and here's their quote, ongoing commitment to expanding registered apprenticeship programs. You know, we've got some interns. Do they count? Over here at Civic Media, you know, or more accurately, over here at Devil Radio, we got some young guys helping us out. Anyways, we'll get back to that. The visit underscores the political importance of Wisconsin. Yes, critical. A critical swing state, as it's written here, that could prove the tipping point in determining who wins the White House in November. And the Biden-Harris campaign recently beefed up its staff in the state. And Biden and his team have made a concerted effort to highlight the strong and growing economy to voters in Wisconsin and across the country who remain skeptical of that improvement. It's getting better. It's getting better. Check it out. Although, I got to tell you, the overnight inflation of the gas, that's not necessary. Quick Trip, overnight, 24 hours, jack gas, like 30 cents a gallon. It's like, really, Quick Trip? Just because you got a monopoly, you're going to stick it to the consumers? I find those practices bothersome. Anyways, still, Wisconsinites' perceptions of the economy have appeared to improve slightly over the last 4 months. Yes, because it's getting better. The Marquette University Law poll from last February found 38% of registered voters describing the economy as excellent or good, while 62% said not so good or poor. And a previous poll put those numbers at 27 and 73%. So getting better, not great. But in part, I think the vice president coming, obviously, to accentuate the positive, right? You talk about the good stuff. And that's why she's coming. And we will bring you more details when they become more widely available. But here's a little insight. I would really like the VP to feel welcomed here in Dane County in Madison. And I need your help. And I need some creative advice. Over the lunch hour, I spitballed with my 17-year-old. He's one of the aforementioned interns over here at Devil Radio. But trying to come up with a good idea of how to welcome the vice president. And of course, here on the radio, I'm going to welcome her here. Call me, Kamala, 844-967-2789. Or any of you, you know, you'd fall behind the vice president. But you can all call it 844-96-PARTY. You know, the political party starts a little earlier these days, 3 to 6. But anyways, got some billboards, digital billboards. I've been bragging a little bit, sort of a big investment. Hopefully a worthy expenditure, an investment in the greatest radio show ever, because now's the time. It's been a long time since we cared about what we put out there. And what I mean by that, of course, we care about what we put on the airwaves. But, you know, sort of the owning of the Resistance Radio and the Devil Radio and the other machinations of civic media. Well, I think they were all great things. And I love the fact that Sage has built this thing. It has diminished my ability to selflessly promote the Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever. So hence the expansion to 3 hours. Tom's going to join as often as possible for this hour. But tell your friends, and I'm trying to help you by, you know, buying some digital billboards for the next couple months. And as fate would have it, there's some flexibility from the vendors. Thank you, Adams Outdoor. And we could change the message to greet the vice president coming next Wednesday. And then the question, of course, is, but what do we say? And you know, we're kind of snarky around here. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little sarcastic occasionally. And, you know, I would like to somehow include sort of a snarky tone, you know, not to be rude to the vice president, but, you know, just to sort of reflect our personalities, our sensibilities, if you will. And so it's got to be a little snark. It can be a visual representation. It is a digital billboard. I'm hoping the guys down there are willing to change the whole image for us. We've been, you know, flashing the billboards out there on the Beltline and Wanakee and DeForest and out in Sun Prairie. So we're trying to expose more people to the greatest radio show ever. And you can help me. A, tell people about the greatest radio show ever. Please tell them. 3 hours now, 3 to 6. Same as it ever was, same as it always should be. And then also, please, please help me come up with some sort of clever, snarky greeting for the vice president. What should we say to welcome Kamala to our fair city, to Madison, right here? So the phone lines, I'm going to keep them open, toll free and all that kind of stuff. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. 2789. Or if the boss is watching, you may also utilize the text line. Same number. It's a little easier if you have that shiny, super cool Civic Media app. But devil's advocates, we're in the self-promotion business. You know, we've been so humble up till now. But it's time to let people know, greatest radio show ever. We're on the march. Worldwide fame and overnight success 13 years later. So look for the billboards and then give us a call. Help us figure out how to welcome the vice president. She's coming to Madison, my hometown, next Wednesday. And also, we got a fine cavalcade of guests on this big show. I got Matt Rothschild, Batman, joining me very soon at 3:30. So, you know, your suggestions appreciated sooner than later, if you know what I'm saying. Again, 844-96-PARTY. So Matt Rothschild joining me here in the WMDX studios. And then later in the big show, Dom's going to join at 4. And the incomparable Bill Press. You remember Bill Press? All you guys, back when there was a mic in Madison, you know, turn it left all the way. Well, Bill Press was the morning guy. And Bill Press was part of Crossfire and has done many, many media things throughout the course of his many years in this industry. And, you know, he wears his age well. I don't know how old Bill is, but he wears it well. He is a very dynamic dude and love Bill and saw Bill in D.C. not that many months ago. And I heard Bill Press and Dom went skinny dipping in the fountains in Rome one time. So I'll bring that up to him as well. Remind him about his public nakedness in the fountains. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I know for sure I would like the vice president to join us on the big show when she's in Madison. That'd be greatly appreciated. I know she's been on Earl's show like 3 times. I helped produce one of the segments that Earl had the vice president. I welcomed her to the Earl Ingram show. Oh, Madam Vice President, hold on. Earl's been expecting you. Kamala, call me. 844-967-2789. Maybe if we welcome her properly with a digital billboard, courtesy of the Devil's Advocates, maybe she'd consider joining me next Wednesday when she's in town, right up here, 202 State Street. But you, in the meantime, help me. Be clever. Call me. 844-967-2789. How do we welcome the vice president properly? Devil style.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Same as it ever was. 3 to 6. New and improved. 50% more of me. So tune in earlier. Tell your friends. And, you know, help me decide how to welcome the vice president here to Madison. She's coming next Wednesday. Madison, coming to my hometown. 844-967-2789. Matt Rothschild joining me very shortly here in studio, WMDX 92.7 FM Studios. Just saw some young folk out here on State Street, Nate. They were looking up, kind of pointing like, hey, is that an old man doing radio up there? Soon it will be 2 old men, me and Batman. And Dominic joins at 4. Bill Press joining at 4:30. And soon, coming Monday specifically, we're going to play some inside baseball. These new legislative maps, well, perhaps they portend legislative majorities for the Democrats. And I want to do the inside baseball. I got to get myself educated just so you, our fair audience, can be educated. You know, we'll get the experts in and you can just listen along and learn with me. I learn on the radio almost each and every day. So often the audience points me in the right direction. Sometimes not so far on the billboard then. Again, the number 844-967-2789. I guess none of you have any desire to snarkily welcome the vice president here to Madison. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed in some of you. But the election maps, I'm very excited to welcome The ultimate insider, Chuck Walla, in the studio coming on, Monday. He's going to come at 3:30, and we're going to get all specific about some of the new changes, Dane County, right here in my backyard. And then we're going to turn around the state in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll welcome Dom along, and we'll play the inside baseball, and we'll talk about what races could be key races, but I'm looking at you, Appleton. So anyways, Chuck Walla on Monday, Bill Press later in the show. Dom will be along for the last 2 hours. And again, Matt Rothschild soon. But let's talk about the pitting of incumbents against each other, because this is why I want to talk to Matt Rothschild about in part. But the new legislative maps, and I'm going to read Dateline, Madison, Journal Sentinel. I know the audience loves when I read. Redrawing Wisconsin's legislative boundaries is creating a shakeup within the two chambers of the state legislature, with the state of lawmakers choosing to retire or run in new districts to avoid competing against fellow incumbents. You know, that's the part I kind of like about it. Now, the reshuffle comes after Democratic Governor Tony Evers signed into law new legislative maps after Republican lawmakers agreed to pass them as a last resort to avoid having the liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court write new legislative boundaries. Feeling better all the time. I'm just throwing out Crudy's 2 cents worth now. Feeling better all the time that maybe these maps are going to stick. Why? Because the deadline rapidly approaching, March 15th. And B, because now these lawmakers are starting to cast themselves in their new districts. No one's holding back like, I'm going to see what happens before I get out the real estate for sale sign. Some people have to move. Let's talk about it. Senator Howard Markline, a Republican from Spring Green. Never been a big fan. WRCE listeners in Richland Center. A little bit later, will join us. And anyways, they should know. Markline has been repositioned, or at least that's the likely outcome of the new maps. Markline, a Republican from Spring Green, who represented the 17th Senate District for nearly 10 years. Now, that used to be Dale Schultz District. And I like Dale Schultz. He was a twice-elected Republican majority leader, twice-elected majority leader of his party. You know, the newfound Trump MAGA Republicans bear no resemblance to Dale Schultz. But Howard Markline, he's been down for some of the, developers' wants. And he actually cast those things, like developers pay him. He doesn't remember who, but they give him campaign cash. And then he sets water policies in my backyard, even though his district, his current one, doesn't touch Dane County. So I've always found him to be, you know, a little unbearable. And he is, what, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee? But Markline's Southwest Wisconsin district has long been, a long-held target of Democrats, and he has withstood expensive challenges thus far. And Markline didn't respond to the paper's interview request. At the same time, the new district boundaries have pushed some Republican incumbents who are now paired together in one district to move residences. Ooh, that's going to hurt. Republican incumbents would be paired in 15 districts while Democrats are paired into, according to analysis by the Journal Sentinel, 4 districts feature a Democrat and Republican, both as incumbents. There's always an advantage to incumbency, folks. And in the Senate, 13 incumbents paired together. In the Assembly, there are 30 Democratic and Republican incumbents grouped in the same district. That's a lot of competitive races, let's say, folks. It's been a long time coming. Now, Senator Rob Coles, who is on the ballot in the fall, said he's looking for a new home in order to compete again in the second Senate district. Man's got to move. They moved his district on him, question mark. The new map pits him against 2 fellow Senate Republican incumbents in the Green Bay area. Cowles, Andre Jacques, and Eric Wimberger now reside in the new 30th Senate District, which leans slightly Democratic. And Cal said he's looking at housing farther to the west in order to continue to stay in the 2nd Senate District, which is solidly Republican under the new plan. I've had heavily networked in my new district in a variety of ways. I'd like to continue this for a while. Continue to what? Serve the people? I didn't see the serving of the people in there, but anyways, I feel pretty good about it. Of course, I don't like it, but I'll deal with it. He said about moving. Now, Wimberger told the Marinette Eagle Herald he plans to run in the new 30th Senate District, while Jacques is considered running in the 8th Congressional, because Mike Gallagher's leaving the Congress, right? Andre Jacques for Congress, maybe. I could think of some fine Democratic candidates. I'm not going to throw them all out there. Few still considering, haven't made a hard choice yet, but there is better than Andre Jacques to represent the 8th. And to avoid a Republican primary against a more senior Senate Republican, Republican Senator Dan Knodel. That's Dom, Senator. Guy just won, what, the special election, right? He represents the northern suburbs of Milwaukee. Well, he's going to take a step backward and run in the legislature's lower house. He's going to run for Janelle Branch's seat in the assembly. Well, what about Branch? I mean, you know, assuming she's not criminally convicted by then. Because as we've seen, if anyone's been watching the whole Trump thing and the Supreme Court, the wheels of justice move quite slowly sometimes. We like it when it moves a little quicker. But not too quick. 3 hours worth each and every day. Same as it ever was. More Devil's Advocates. One of our favorites, Batman, coming in studio with me, Matt Rothschild. Bringing him out of retirement. Bringing the righty out of the bullpen. Pitchers and catchers report for duty. More Devil's Advocates. Matt Rothschild is next.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. It's getting better right now. I got a co-devil. He is Matt Rothschild, affectionately known as Batman. from formerly the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now fresh out of retirement.
Yeah, you dragged my sorry.
Back in from the bullpen, man.
drag me out. Yeah, I haven't done radio until today for a long, long time. But it's always great to be here. Yeah, I've been enjoying retirement. I retired June 30th of the last year and have spent a lot of time just, you know, in the backyard getting rid of invasive species like buckthorn and honeysuckle. I used to tell my wife, if I ever talk in public about getting rid of a honeysuckle or buckthorn, you can shoot me. And by now she must have shot me 1,000 times because that's all I do.
Well, at least my poor wife and my whole life comes through the prism of Lefty Talk Radio. So I'm sure she's heard a few of my stories. Matt, politicking though, man, you got to be paying attention on some level.
Oh, I'm paying attention. I mean, I was just thrilled to death about ending gerrymandering in Wisconsin, getting fair maps. I mean, that was something that I poured a lot of time into. My friends at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and colleagues over at the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition just spent years and years and years banging our head against the wall, wondering if we were ever going to get to victory. And here we got to victory. And Evers outplayed the Republicans on it and forced the Republicans finally to sign on to his own map, which was just kind of an awesome end play. And we're getting much fairer maps than we had before. You know, they're going to be so fair that I wouldn't be surprised if Robin Voss decides not to run again. That's how fair they're going to be.
So you think there could be some intrigue. Are you convinced that this is the final machination, that these maps are final? Or do you think there is some chance that Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty or some agent of the right still goes running off to, let's say, Diane Sykes in the 7th and hopes to catch a favorable judge in his stay?
It's much less likely now than had the Wisconsin Supreme Court imposed the maps. I mean, once the legislature itself passed Evers' maps and Evers signed them, I think they have much less of a leg to stand on. So I never say never, but it looks pretty good.
Are you encouraged by the fact that we now see Republicans threatening to move into different districts and they're strategizing, they're you know, where they're going to run in the fall.
Yeah, well, they know that these maps are final for the fall. I can't see anything coming in and changing them for this fall. It's just the calendar's too tight. And again, I think with the legislature doing it, as opposed to Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's not going to happen that fast. So there may be a challenge down the road after this election. But right now, as you say, you see, you know, one Republican assembly person filing against another assembly person. Branchin may be in trouble.
Alleged felonious rep Janelle Branchin. Well, she's, Matt, you must miss the radio on days like the day when the news broke that the Trump campaign and Janelle Branchin was coordinating with out-party Republican county parties to funnel money back into the recall effort, or at least the primary effort against Robin Voss through the Adam Steen campaign. And, you know, the Wisconsin Ethics Commission says, you know, investigate and charge these people with felonies, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, there was a limit on what you could give to Steen's campaign. I think it was under $2,000 or right around
I thought it was
there.
Like a $1,000 cap on, on assembly races.
Yeah, it's $1,000. It's $2,000, I think, for state senate. So the Steen people and the Trump people were saying, well, let's get rich people to give a lot more than that. $1,000 is pennies. We need more than that. So just give unlimited donations to the local county parties, and then the local county parties can give unlimited amounts to candidates, but you can't do it by saying, here, we're just going to wire this through you guys and launder it through you.
No, they put 63 on the line instead of because Scott Walker asked. I mean, didn't it have some reminiscences, some echoes of the John Doe?
Yeah, totally. I mean, so the John Doe 2 investigation was an investigation of Scott Walker, who had apparently broken the law in Wisconsin that was on the books at the time, which said if you're a candidate for office, you cannot coordinate with an outside group. And Walker was coordinating with Wisconsin Club for Growth and going all around the country telling people to donate seven figures to Wisconsin Club for Growth. And then, you know, they would listen to Walker and Walker's aides about how to use that money during the campaign. So there was clear coordination going on until the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which was then dominated by conservatives, gave Walker a get out of jail free card by saying the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution forbids the state of Wisconsin from banning coordination between candidates and outside so-called issue advocacy groups. And the First Amendment doesn't say that. The U.S. Supreme Court has never said that. Actually, it has said the opposite of that, essentially. But anyway, they got away with it. Walker got away with it. And what happened was Gableman and some of the other right-wing Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, they not only said that about that bizarre interpretation of the First Amendment, they told the special prosecutor to take a hike. They fired the special prosecutor and had that case dropped.
Matt Rothschild, Batman, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, current friend, I would hope.
Absolutely.
Matt, this was a flouting of even the Wild West, the last remnants of campaign finance laws we have here in the state of Wisconsin. There's not a lot. But what's there was just completely flouted by these actions by Branchin and the Steen campaign. And it's ironic to me in the echoes of the John Doe Walker, because when it was Scott Walker's campaign doing it, it was super okay. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court, as you mentioned, just basically buried it and said, burn the evidence. But if it happens to Robin Voss, it's much more problematic. And I think it was like the perfect storm, because the left is down for good governance for the most part,
I should say.
And the fact that Robin Voss was being targeted by the MAGA right, by these rigged elections, by these efforts to flout and go around campaign finance laws because Robin Voss was the air quotes victim, I think it was the perfect storm. And, you know, you got a bipartisan action and the harsh assessment, felonies,
yeah,
felonious.
And two of the three, I think it was 5-1 at the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, with two of the three Republicans saying, a Republican appointee saying, yeah, we should have a prosecution here.
Well, Matt Rothschild, let me ask you about the other prosecution that's been far too long delayed. What about the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin? The former Republican Party chair, Andrew Hitt, goes running off to 60 Minutes.
I saw him.
Oh, poor me, the Trump the Trump base would have come after me if I was the one that would have prevented him from overturning the election by not signing off on this. No caveats. The guy's a lawyer. He's not dumb. No caveats like they had in Pennsylvania. No clarifying language just in case we're only here as substitute electors. None of that was in there. And then they're all duped. They're all poor us. Matt, have you been watching him and the cheese girl?
I watched it. Yeah, I thought it was kind of pathetic. And he was saying his best defense was, I'm an idiot and I'm a weenie. I mean, basically.
That sort of undermines what he does for a living.
I'm not sure it helps him get clients either, but it was all he's got at this point. At least at the end, he said, you know, we shouldn't vote for Trump. Trump's not qualified to be president again. I was glad he added that at the end, but it was his way for wiggling out. He did seem uncomfortable with the role that he played historically here, even before the 60 Minutes thing. I know he cooperated with the investigation on Capitol Hill. You know, I don't think our AG, who's been just so slow on picking this up, Josh Gall, where are you? You know, hasn't gone after the fake electors. Maybe he's going after Cheesebro and Troopus now. I don't know. I don't think he's going to indict the false electors.
Will his plate be too full to charge Janelle Branchon? Because I'm not sure if local investigators are going to pick this mantle up either.
I mean, he should. I mean, I've been wondering, you know, where Josh Call's been the last 3 years. And certainly the Branchon stuff coming from the Wisconsin Ethics Commission should give him a heads up that he should do it, or the DA here in Madison could do it too, or down where Branchon's district is, the DA down there, who's probably a Republican because it's a Republican territory. But look, we need accountability for the people who are flouting our election laws, who are allegedly breaking the laws, as Janelle Branchon was allegedly breaking, and as the false electors, the 10 false electors admitted that they did something wrong, admitted that actually Biden won the election here in Wisconsin. Cheesebro and Troopus, who were advising the false electors here in Wisconsin, you know, they can be investigated too by Josh Call. And so it's always been a surprise to me that he hasn't done it. You know, what has he got to lose? Where is he? What's he doing?
Not clear, Matt Rothschild. You're right here with me in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios.
Nice studios. I haven't been up here.
I know. I like the fact that you can see humanity out the window. And nice ambient light. You know, that combination. It's great. People, if you ever want to come see me, just bring cookies for me and Matt. Matt, the fact that Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a shocker, because Wisconsin is always seemingly at the eye of the hurricane whenever there's malfeasance, bad governance. We're always seemingly right there in the mix because we are a swing state. Of course, we've lived the history of Scott Walker and all the machinations of his bad governance. But the Cheesebro guy and the fact that this guy went to the Michigan prosecutors and basically made a self-serving confession of sort, apparently. Cheesebro was the architect of the fake elector scheme. And by all indications, this thing came out of Wisconsin, man. Mm. Wisconsin was the origination point, and then it was replicated across multiple jurisdictions, across multiple state lines, and very few caveats, very few disqualifiers saying this was anything other than a legitimate effort to offer a alternative slate of electors. And either, what, confuse the vice president or confuse the American people enough that you could throw it back to state legislatures.
And they said it was in case the courts ruled that there were some improprieties. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court, just hours before the Wisconsin electors signed their bogus statement, the Wisconsin Supreme Court threw out the last challenge by the Trump administration.
So we're aware that this was not a legitimate alternative legal claim being upheld through some sort of statutory paperwork.
Right.
This was effectively a criminal conspiracy. And the other thing that I think is not talked about publicly, not really hammered in the press. You know, I know I do sort of this advocacy radio thing, but Ron Johnson's pretty complicit in this.
Totally. I mean, he was trying to hand off the Wisconsin and Michigan bogus slate of electors to the vice president minutes before the start of the Electoral College on January 6th.
And Cheesebro, even in the later revelations to the apparently Michigan's AG's office, Dana Nessel's office, further implicated our buddy Ron Johnson, because that's the point where they got, you know, the false Wisconsin and Michigan electors had to be, what, personally delivered, and there was a meeting at the Russell, or, well, I guess first it was at the Longworth Congressional Building, and then they had to take him over to the Russell office building where Ron Johnson's office is located. But it was all very convoluted, and I mean, I don't know why we don't see any charges there. You know, instead we're talking about a U.S. Supreme Court maybe delaying President Trump or former President Trump's trial over the question of absolute immunity, which is a ridiculous thing.
Well, that decision yesterday really, really, you know, set me back. I mean, this, it looks like there's going to be no accountability for this guy on January 6th prior to the big elections coming up. And, you know, I'm angry still at Merrick Garland for just dragging his feet so long. I mean, he could have hired Jack Smith on January 22nd of 2021. He didn't have to wait 2 years or however long, 2.5 years to hire this guy or hire somebody else who could prosecute the case.
Man, they need some street fighters. I thought Jack Smith would be a street fighter, and perhaps he will be. But first, he has to get his day in court.
His boss sure isn't.
Well, clearly. he's Matt Rothschild. He's retired from his vigilante street fighting for good governance days, but he comes in to visit me occasionally. It'd be nice if I had a cookie to offer you. I bet I could find some in the kitchen.
I'll bring some next time.
Come back. Join us. 844-967-2789. I got a few more backyard questions. And also, bird watching. I know you're a big bird watcher.
That's something I know about.
Yes. I often give the bird. That's something slightly different. Come back. More Matt Rothschild, Batman, Devil's Advocates. She got my child, but it don't look like it. I said I'm running, but it took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. And eventually, Jeff set up the lease at the Civic Media World Headquarters. No one works harder to provide options in commercial leasing. Call Jeff Jansen and his team at Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back. Devil's Advocates, Thursday edition. I got Batman in studio. He is Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now of fruitful retirement.
Rural Dane County.
That's something to look forward to for some of us. I actually intend to die at the microphone. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen, right? Rough book and all that. Matt, I'm...
May it not be for decades.
Please, please not for a while. I got bills I got to pay. Tuition, they're starting to come due. Matt, I've been as optimistic about perhaps the future of Wisconsin politics as I have been in some time due to these maps. And I think that's a credit to the state of Wisconsin. I think in some part it's a credit or a discredit to the U.S. Supreme Court and their abortion ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. I think it certainly woke up the electorate. And people here in the state of Wisconsin, women especially, they've been outraged. The Protasiewicz election, the double-digit win of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and to think that somehow Brad Schimming's going to, or, yeah, Brad Schimmel.
Schimmel.
I confuse him and the corrupted old radio dog who's now the head of the Republican Party, and he's a little complicit in the J6 himself, Mr. Schimming. And I like the guy, but I'm telling you, you know, I kind of hold it against you, Brian. But Brad Schimmel apparently going to take a run at the court. He's going to go after
against the good Bradley, yeah.
And Walsh Bradley. But Matt, do you think we'll get anything looking close to a legislative majority?
You know, I think it's possible. The real question is Biden. And, you know, is
does he have coattails?
Or does he have lead cement shoes? That's the question, whether he will, you know, sink some Democrats. I mean, I think Tammy's going to lead the way here.
Is she the top of the ticket then? Is she effectively the head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and You ride her coattails?
I would. I mean, I think Tammy Baldwin is the most successful Democratic official here statewide. Mark Pocan is great, too, here in Dane County in the 2nd Congressional. But Tammy Baldwin gets more votes than anybody when she runs. She wins by a bigger margin. She knocked off Tommy Thompson, the legend here in Wisconsin. And so
I was a little surprised by that many years ago. And Tammy has seemed somewhat unbeatable since then. Certainly, Leah Vukmer put up no particular nurse ratchet, as I'd like to call her, put up no particular competition, and begs the question, what about the porn-stachioed Laguna Beach multimillionaire Eric Hoadvey? What do you think of this man's chances?
I don't think Hoadvey's got a shot against Tammy Baldwin unless Biden is really sinking.
He's up on advertising already. Hoadvey
is, yeah. I mean, you know, Wisconsinites don't love the out-of-state multimillionaire, and he's a real easy
target.
Maybe
he's a less harsh version of Tim Michaels.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Michaels was not great, and I don't think Hoadvey's gonna give her a terrible run. The only question is, and I'm still hoping, and I know Dom hopes so too, that somehow Biden gets out, because I think I'm just worried to death that Trump's gonna beat him. And there are new polls out today that show Trump beating him in Wisconsin and in all 7 swing states. And you know, poll after poll after poll, at some point someone's gotta, and maybe it's Jill, go to Biden and say, you did great. You saved the country from Trump. You got nothing to be ashamed of. It's time for you to walk out.
Is it then Vice President Kamala Harris? Because you can't just take the incumbent president, set him aside, and ignore the line of succession, can you?
Well, you know, I always thought the best thing that Biden could do would be to resign at the end of year 2 and give the keys to Kamala Harris and have her drive the car for a couple of years, get people comfortable with her. And
President Harris.
Yeah.
Incumbency is always a powerful thing.
I mean, he still could do that. It's a little late for that now. The more likely thing to do if he steps out is to do the Ezra Klein thing, which is to open the convention and release his delegates and then have the fight at the convention floor.
I've also seen, I believe, Margaret Sullivan recent writing saying, that's a fantasy. That's not going to happen, Matt Rothschild. Nobody's given up. He just came back from the hospital. Fit for duty, this man. Doctor loves this guy.
Yeah, one or two more stumbles nationally on TV, embarrassing. And then, you know, just got to wonder. And more of these polls showing him losing. I mean, the thing that infuriates me about the Democratic Party and about Biden's decision to run again is that 70 to 75% of Americans say they didn't want this choice. And they're just forcing people to eat their broccoli or eat their spinach. And people don't want to eat their broccoli or eat their spinach.
But if Trump's the threat, I mean, sadly, I think many of us voted against Donald Trump.
I'm totally with you. I'm scared to death of Donald Trump. That's why I'm thinking maybe Biden should step aside. If Biden can't save us from Trump again, like he saved us from Trump the first time, which I'm grateful for and thankful to him for, maybe he's got a historic obligation to bow out and give someone else a better shot.
But you know, Matt, it's as much as I like to play hypotheticals, and I can appreciate what you're saying, because I have eyes and I know we got a little confirmation bias going on around here sometimes, but you know, I know that this is an imperfect candidate. I was a Bernie guy.
Me too.
But who's your sure bet?
Well, there's no sure bet, but there are a lot of people who are very capable. Newsom, Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Whitmer, a lot of people could do it. And they should be able to go before voters and show their stuff. But, Biden, by insisting on running, the sad thing is originally he said, I'm a transitional figure.
Yeah.
And why he didn't stay with that is a little beyond me. Because
nobody gives up the power of the presidency.
I know.
Readily. Some coup their way and try to keep it that way. I mean, and other guys just think, well, I got a second term. I'm going to run for it.
Lyndon Johnson did, though.
Lyndon did step aside.
Yeah. Late. I think it was March.
How'd that work out?
Well, we got Hubert Humphrey and Richard Nixon won.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure that that's the panacea that you want.
But look, we've got bad alternatives here. We're looking at bad numbers. We're looking at a possible disaster. What do you do?
Well, I'm not convinced the polling is entirely accurate this far out. It's you aren't even to Super Tuesday yet. And I would love to see what the Alvin Bragg, the Stormy Daniels trial does, because we're not going to get a J6 trial.
And that's a shame, too.
Come back with us. And when I say us, I mean me and Dom, because Matt, I'm going to say goodbye to you.
I'm going out for dinner with my kid.
Oh, excellent, man. I'm going to have you bird watching someday soon.
I'm for that.
Yes, and perhaps cherry pie. There's always that.
I'll make it.
Come back, Dom, Crute, and soon Bill Press joins as well. Devil's Advocates Hour 2 is next.